We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, CT Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. June 6th, 2017. At Zardcast on Twitter, almightyballer.com/Zardcast is the website. Subscribe on your phone because that's the best way to get an episode. Because when you don't do an episode for 2 weeks, you might not know when the next one's coming. So if you're subscribed, it just shows up there.
It's been longer than 2 weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. It's probably been, oh man, early May? Was it? Were we even in May when the Wizards bowed out of the playoffs? It's been 3 weeks, maybe?
I think three seems right.
Okay. Dave, already unsure.
I'm getting to the bottom of this.
But Gary's on his game.
Zardcast's back. All right.
The last one was May 16th. So,
man, you're so fast on your phone.
3 weeks.
One-handed two.
To the day. Yeah, it's pretty impressive how I can use this thing with one hand.
I'm like, not. I would need both hands, two thumbs to tap that out. Like, Wizards last game.
Well, I just looked up the last
podcast. See? I would have taken a bad route as well. Well, it's good to see you guys back here. When we last potted, Dave, you didn't even show up. You were so bent out of shape.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. I thought we did one since then, but
no, right after the loss.
Hmm.
That's how much it's pained us. We haven't gotten back in the pod. Didn't feel like there was much else to say.
Well, I'm glad we're doing one now then, because if you think about it, if you're going to have a podcast, one of the most important things to do is do the podcast.
Yeah. We're pretty good, though. I mean, I went all kinds of places. You guys held the fort down. We tried to do it remotely. So, like, through thick and thin, during the season, we're on it. But then summertime comes and
Gary, did you hear how he kind of subtly implied that we weren't doing shit? And he was, like, jet-setting all over the place?
What I got from that was that he thinks one of us is overweight and one of us is too skinny.
I was trying to highlight your effort, you know? Being like, hey, even though I was away, you guys, you know, dragged my sleigh around like I'm Santa Claus or something. That's not the way I wanted that to go, but
we'll be your elves.
He's really speaking his mind here. Interesting.
Sorry, that was mean.
We're gonna have to get a
like we're a dancer and prancer over here.
Comedy and Cupid.
I didn't mean it, you guys. I'm sorry.
Donner and Blitzen.
I'm a little rusty right now. My brain's not firing all too well at the moment.
Rudolph?
The red-nosed reindeer. Here comes more coffee.
Yeah, I didn't get the coffee memo here, obviously.
It's pretty hot, though.
I don't want to feel left out.
Do you want? I've got the iced variety over here.
Yeah, let me do iced.
Okay.
Let's just mix them together and have like a lukewarm room temperature coffee.
So, this is a really good podcast so far.
Damn, that's a good cup of coffee. That's a Twin Peaks reference. Just came back, but for me, it's new. I just started watching the original season. Well, I finished the original season, but I guess I'm on season two now.
What is that show about? I've only begun to hear about it recently.
It's pretty hard to answer that question, to be honest.
It's about a bunch of freaks living in a freak town.
Yeah.
Huh.
And a dead girl.
Okay.
I think you'd like it. It's weird.
Is it like relatively new?
No, it's from like 1991 or something, but they've just put out a new season after like, you know, 25 years or whatever.
One of those Netflix things, like Full House.
It's on Showtime.
Showtime, always grasping.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like they got you guys hooked in.
No. I watched most of the first one. I didn't like it, really. I'm not watching this new one. I probably will at some point.
You watch everything.
It's a little early for a pop culture detour, but you know what I am watching, which is cool, is American Gods. I think that might be up your aisle. You like the, I think it's the guy that made Hannibal. You liked Hannibal, right?
Yeah, I do like Hannibal.
It's pretty good.
All right. I might check it out. I'm still trying to catch up with Fargo. I'm all set up with The Leftovers. I'm pretty much current with Saul, so I've got some time in my life. Especially without the wizards around.
They are not around.
That opens up a lot of time. Yeah. What kind of things have you guys been up to since the wizards lost? I mean, obviously, Davey, big television consumer. Gary.
It honestly did open up a lot of television consumption for me. Because I checked out for the conference finals. I barely watched any of them. I think I watched the first half of maybe two of the Eastern games. And I don't think I watched a minute of any of the Spurs Warriors, because once Kawhi, I missed the first game and then Kawhi was hurt, so I wasn't watching. I was like, I'll tune back in for the finals. Not that they've been particularly riveting either, but
it's been rough out there. I really enjoyed those first two Boston Cleveland games. Like, I was like giddy, especially the first one. I was like, I must have looked and sounded like such a moron, but I was like giggling to myself as like LeBron was just like shredding them and Kevin Love was having his way. I don't know. It was cathartic, I think.
Seeing them get their comeuppance.
For sure.
But
especially
then
in Boston.
But then IT went down and that kind of took a lot of the fun out of it. And then they won a game and I was just done with it.
So mad.
Yeah, pretty mad.
And then they won the lottery. That happened since our last pod, right?
Yeah.
That was fucked up.
I mean, for real, like, they had the, like, they could have, if they would have won that first game, like, it would have, Bill Simmons would have just, like, imploded on himself.
Oh, well. Fuck them.
Yeah.
I hope they screw it up. That's what I hope. Not the pick, but, like, make some trade and then it all goes to hell.
Yeah, maybe Markelle Fultz is terrible. I mean, that's always pretty likely, right? You never really know.
Draft bust definitely happen.
Mm-hmm. Could hope for that. I mean, and then, but it just makes it even worse that they have a, you know, another first round pick in their back pocket that'll probably be a top five, so.
I don't know. I think there's a pretty clear, obviously it counts on them not hitting like a home run with one of those two picks, but they're going to have to ship out Isaiah Thomas. Probably, right? I think there's a limited market for him compared to, I mean, he's a great player, but he just had like a serious hip injury. Might need hip surgery. He's about to be 30 years old. He's only got the 1 year left on his contract. Then what? You give him a max contract?
He said he'd take less.
But that's what the team that, well, it depends, because if they trade him.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's not up to him.
So, I don't know. Or, and will he take less from like a shitty team if he gets sent there? And then the rest of their pieces, I mean, Bradley's good. Other than that, can you really count on any of those guys being assets in a couple years that they could trade? Or
maybe Al Horford?
Yeah, but I mean, he's going to be 31 in a couple years. Or 32, I think.
He's got to already be 32.
Let's see. No, I think he's 30.
Fast thumbs, Dave.
Pew, pew, pew.
You ever pull up the NBA app and it just says, this is taking longer than expected? And you're like, yeah, I fucking know. I'm looking right at it.
I'm living this experience.
He is 31.
Yeah.
So
tough to trade if he's 33.
He just turned 31 3 days ago.
Oh.
Had a bad birthday.
I agree.
I hope he tried to blow out the candles and turned out they were trick candles. I was at a birthday party for a 3-year-old last August, and someone accidentally got him trick candles.
How did he take it?
he didn't know what was going on. He wasn't upset or anything. But it was pretty funny because he blows them all out and they just start coming back on. No one knew what was going to happen.
And that's dangerous with a little kid because they'll just start spitting all over the cake and then...
Yeah, true.
Well, that's just going to happen anyway. You know what's really, really funny about kids' birthday parties? They're only like an hour and a half. Like you go somewhere for like... I know I don't encounter a lot of kids' birthday parties. This is getting really weird tonight, but...
You can just wait out the whole thing in your van out front and... It's only like one podcast and you're done.
And then you roll out of there dressed like Santa and you really got them. Yeah, an hour and a half, 2 hours. That's they're small children in my family, so they, you know, stray observation there. That's like their attention spans are short and they get tired easily.
Yeah, it's because of nap schedules and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, man, there's a lot of headaches involved in having a kid, it seems. But one thing I look forward to is the hard out you have. Just make up whatever arbitrary nap schedule you need to say to get out of anything.
Yeah. I think that works for a while until you have to drive them everywhere.
Maybe we'll have driverless cars by then.
Ooh, something to look forward to. I like it, Dave. I'm really looking forward to driverless cars one day.
I don't trust them.
Really?
I think we've gotten into this before. I trust driverless cars, and I trust driverful cars. I don't trust the cohabitation of the road between driverless and driverful cars.
Okay. That seems fair.
But don't those Google cars like never crash? Only when somebody drives into them? But which is like way, way less frequently than normal accidents.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But I do feel that impulse a little bit, like if I'm gonna die in a fiery car crash, I'm gonna be the fucking one to cause it.
I just feel like there's certain times, if everything's automated, you're good. But I don't know. I feel like there's times where you're gonna need to do an evasive maneuver potentially,
mm-hmm,
that wouldn't be programmed to a car that doesn't expect to have to do that.
I see. I never considered any of that. I was just too blinded by the prospect of like being taken places and like not having to like think about it or like do anything. That just seems ideal to me.
Have you ever heard somebody bring up, so sometimes people die when they're driving their cars, and
breaking news.
Normally, you know, you get a call from the police. Grandma died, had a heart attack while she was driving.
Is the officer in your family?
No, calls you and says your grandma died in a car crash on her way, or had a heart attack, plowed in the guardrail. Now she's just going to roll up into your driveway, not get out. You're going to have to go out there.
You're talking about like natural death.
Yeah.
During driving.
Yeah.
That definitely will happen.
Yeah.
Like a decent amount probably.
Wow.
He's like, "What are you doing in there?" And then
if it's automated, honestly, the best time to travel would be at night while you sleep anyway.
Yeah.
If you could do like red eye trips would be great. So, yeah, there's probably going to be a ton of that.
So in some like very rare cases, it's just going to be a corpse delivery service just right to your house.
Man, I didn't even consider the prospect of sleeping while driving at night. That's a true game changer. Then you wouldn't have, I mean, like, you know, I'm going to Charleston this weekend. I could just get in the car on, you know, Wednesday night and be there in the morning and not have to, I mean, I guess you'd stop at gas stations. I guess it'd wake you up when it needs to refuel, but. Sounds good to me.
There's going to be some real ramifications to that. That, like, maybe your boss is like, we'll send a car to pick you up, but I need you to, like, work during your commute now.
I don't like the sound of that one bit. But then you'd be, like, punching in at, like, a different time, so maybe you'd get to leave earlier.
Or we're not going to, nobody's going to have jobs anyway. We're all getting replaced by robots, so.
It's true.
they'll easily be able to have robots that can have this conversation within like 6 months.
They already did. It was called a Furby. It was invented 20 years ago.
And you could have put three of them in a room together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dave, you got a long sordid past with Furbies.
We don't need to go into all that.
Hey, that's for another podcast.
Now it sounds like I did a weird sex thing to a Furby.
Definitely not that, but yeah, again, another day. Should we talk about like actual Wizards things or?
What? Actual what?
We can give it a shot anyway.
Has anything happened?
Well, I just want to like check up on everyone, see how it's going, you know? Like I said before, you didn't even show up to the last podcast. You were so distraught, yeah. Which was fair. I mean, well, not quite fair because you live down the street, but kind of selfish, honestly. But, you know, I was definitely bummed out for like days afterwards. I mean, and then kind of, you know, watching the playoffs, like as they've gone through and taken their course and, you know, the Warriors seem inevitable, like, does it even matter, you guys?
Well, I don't think you didn't have any illusions that they were going to beat the Warriors.
No, of course not. Of course not.
I could have talked myself into them having a shot against the Cavs. If they had like come out and maybe got one of the first two games or something, I could have got on board with like believing they could get to the finals. But there's no way I could have talked myself into them having a shot.
Absolutely not.
The finals. So,
could you imagine the Wizards bench in a 7-game series against the Warriors?
I wanted them to beat the Celtics, obviously, for the achievement of making the conference finals, and because they were playing the Celtics. Like that made it. Who they lost to was the main thing that made it so painful. You mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, I mean. Dealing with, like, Boston people, I mean, they're just, like, I feel like they appear everywhere. Like, over the weekend, I just randomly interacted with two people that happened to be Boston fans. Like, it just, like, pulls the wound right back open. I feel like I get into that a lot.
I watched Manchester by the Sea shortly after, and it's about some Boston schmuck whose kids die in a fire. And I watched it, and I went, good.
It's probably the best post Wizards loss take.
Just Casey Affleck moping around.
What do you guys, when you think back on that fateful series, what bothers you the most? What sticks out the most to you?
I could have had games 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. That's really
one and or two.
I don't know. It didn't really teach us anything we didn't know, I don't think. It wasn't like anybody was exposed that we were counting on not getting exposed. Nobody. I mean, obviously the bench is the concern, but that was always the concern. So it's not like, I don't know. I don't think we're in a worse off position because of that series, which I think could have been the case. Is often the case. Like the Raptors, after their playoffs, they're like, we're fucked. We need to do something about this. But that didn't happen here, which is a positive.
Yeah, and one of the worst things in that last game was how useless Mahimi was and how terrible he played in his like 14, 15 minutes, whatever he got. But even that doesn't bother me too much because that's how he was when he came off his injury in the regular season. When he came off his injury, he was horrendous. He looked like he could, like, couldn't even run properly. Mm. Looked like a baby deer when he would catch the ball. And then he, like, worked his way to playing pretty well. And then he got hurt again. And then when he came back from that, the same thing. It was just horrendous. So hopefully it's just a thing where, like, he immediately lost his, like, basketball fitness and just add a rhythm.
Yeah, it didn't really extinguish any hope that I previously had, I guess, is the most positive way I can frame it.
I'm a little bit worried about what the John Wall backup sitch is. Because that, for me, I mean, the way he just totally ran out of gas in Game 7, that's what kind of sticks out to me at the moment. But, I mean, they must have... I mean, they can't really do anything, first of all. I mean, they'll, I'm sure they'll try and they'll bring in another guard or whatever. But, I mean, it's got to be Satoransky, like, as the... I feel like they got to, like, take the plunge on him, I guess, like, in terms of trying to make him the full-time backup. Like, I don't really know what they can do, and it's been bugging me.
You never know who will shake free. I mean, it doesn't have to be somebody great, just somebody average. Mm-hmm. Could be Satoransky. But, yeah, you're right. He very clearly ran out of gas. Everybody saw it. I hope our friend Albert over at Deadspin feels a little bit vindicated after everybody was shitting on him for saying John Wall should rest, and he was being disingenuous when he was like, well, I just go out there and play. Everybody should rest. I mean, even LeBron, you can see him getting worn down in the finals, and you just can't do it no matter who you are. You can't play 40 minutes a night all the time.
Look at you digging it up.
So, but I think that was, so yeah, you can mitigate that a little bit by playing him less in the regular season. Obviously, we couldn't do that this year. We had such a huge hole to dig out of. They could have gotten him some more rest toward the end, obviously. But who knows?
There's some point guard draft pick buzz, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's like incredibly hard to project who will be available at 52. They worked out the Kansas guy, Frank Mason.
Yeah, Frank Mason, Tyler Dorsey from Oregon. Josh Hart, yeah. Mello Trimble, wouldn't really like that. I'd like all those other guys before him, but...
I could see all of those guys being... having, like, good backup potential. Not for next year, but if they could pull in, like, a cheap free agent to be a competent backup while that rookie X...
Right.
Maybe they turn into replacing that cheap free agent in 2 years or 3 years.
I feel like they could if they drafted Sabonis. I don't know how much you guys have seen of him at Gonzaga, but like,
that big fat guy.
Yeah, he's just a big fat Polish
Karnowski.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Karnowski. Excuse me. I'm mixing up
your big fat Gonzaga Polish guys.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like he would be like a guy who has like potential, and he has like a good basketball IQ. He's a good passer, and
double the amount of Polish guys on the team.
Gortat would be psyched. So I don't know. At least they have like a pick.
Make a lot of jokes about how the team is bipolar.
Oh yeah.
That's gotta be worth something.
Yeah. What do you guys think about, actually one more thing, just in terms of miscellaneous stuff. John Wall saying that Kelly Oubre should have played more in that Game 7. And he's not wrong, but I just thought it was interesting for him to... He doesn't normally speak out of turn, ever, really, when it comes to the coach, and he threw it out there. Kelly Oubre hit the story with the retweet I saw, too.
Didn't he end up being hurt, though?
I don't remember.
I did not see these comments.
I had to... I'm a little in the dark, I'm a little hesitant to say this because I had to unfollow I Love Bullets Forever Wizard stuff, and I really don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, I don't want to hear about the WNBA, but I don't want to hear about the Mystics. It's just a team that I don't care about, a sport I don't follow, and they like live tweet the games, and I just, that's cluttering up my feed. I have a very carefully curated Twitter feed. So I'm a little in the dark about a lot of this stuff.
That's okay. You going to refollow him when the season rolls around?
Oh, for sure.
It's fair. My feed's like pretty chaotic. I think I follow over 1,000 people.
Oh my God.
I should probably weed that out.
I got a lot.
See, I like it because there's always something there.
I've definitely got I got 804.
Oh my God. I have... 303.
Oh man, you keep it extra lean.
That is careful.
Because I like to read like all the tweets if I can. because it sort of makes me feel a little anxious. Like, you know, when it says, like, click here to see more tweets or whatever. The idea of just scrolling past that and being like, nope, I'll just never see all those tweets, that makes me anxious. What if there's, like, the best tweet I've ever seen in there?
I get it. I used to feel like that, but I feel like I'm just become numb to it all.
Yeah. You could just follow just me if you wanted to make sure you only got, you never missed the best tweet ever.
But you're following from tweeting from multiple accounts, so.
Yeah, I got four.
Yeah, so that's at least four.
Damn.
And then what if you say something?
If I Schwenk one time, whenever I tweet something real good, I'll give it a retweet on one of my others.
Why not, right? Who hasn't done that?
How often do you tweet something real good?
Once a year.
I think it's more than that. You're a good tweeter. Schwenk, I like your tweets a lot. They're always very just like a glimpse of wherever your head is at in the moment. Yeah. Whatever like thing you're dealing with in your life. And I'm like, oh, that's what T is up to right now. I like them a lot.
Your girl Bowser came to an event.
Mm.
I was working at the other day. Thought about trying to get her to
invite her on the pod.
Well, I was just going to try to get her to say go Zardcast or something like that and tweet it from Zardcast and see how you reacted.
She can't buy me back like that. She's going to have to actually buy me back. I know she's got cash. Yeah. See what happens. I've talked about this before, but like when I go somewhere, that's when I'm like on Twitter and like thinking about things and like being angry about like things I can't control. When I'm like at home and I'm like after work, I'm too tired to think about and get angry about stuff like that. So when I have like extra energy to just, you know, let my mind wander. That's what I end up. And then I just look like I'm angry and like I'm like big asshole. Like I'm not that angry. Right?
Pretty happy guy. Pretty friendly fella.
That's what I hope so.
You've clearly got a lot of repressed rage, but it doesn't come out
very often. No, never.
We can see it though, just beneath the surface.
Just bubbling.
Schwenk, guess what happened to Gary and I the other day? I was with my girlfriend and her mom, mm-hmm. and we were at, what is that place called?
Soul Spice.
Getting our drinks, waiting to sit down. I turn around, who's in line? Gary, right there, over in Noma, a place I never am. The one time I go over there, there's Gary out in the wild.
What were you doing over there, Gary?
Also getting Soul Spice to eat.
And we sat down and we had a spontaneous dinner together.
That sounds lovely.
It was.
I'm a little bit jealous, yeah. You were just over there in the neighborhood?
No, Tyler, or Ty. She lives.
Oh, right.
A couple blocks away from there.
Of course. I was going to say, it's here. It's pretty close to you, Dave, but...
Close to me soon.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you hate the ones when I Skype in, there's going to be less of them. Moving closer to these guys soon.
Very exciting. Yeah, we're going to all be like within a mile of each other or something like that. Maybe two.
I don't know. Definitely closer.
That's pretty cool. Good times, friends. What do you guys think about Otto probably getting a max contract?
Give it to him. I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm not enthused about it, but I'd rather pay for the known quantity who's young and can still get better than, like, what if you don't sign him and then you don't get anyone else?
Right.
I'd rather not run that risk.
And, I mean, obviously, there's some. He's not your typical max player, obviously. There's some concern that he just had a career year and, mm-hmm. you know, he was shooting crazy, he fell off a lot. But, and I'm not like a big advanced stats guy. I don't really understand him well enough to be. But. I think by a lot of those metrics, he is absolutely worth a max contract. If you look at like offensive rating, he's like the second or third most efficient offensive player in the NBA last year. Only like up there with guys like DeAndre Jordan and like Rudy Gobert, who only ever dunk the ball, and he's shooting threes and you know, little floaters in the paint and stuff, which not many people can do. So,
isn't there a little mini cap jump coming in like another year or two? Also, not a huge one like they just had where everyone had room, but like one where you'll be able to afford a little bit extra in like two seasons.
I don't know. I think that I heard that there was, but then I also think that they maybe adjusted next year's cap down a bit, and so I think that it's not set in stone. Maybe, but that would be nice if we could get a little more space. Although I don't really, I think based on our situation, like even if we renounced Otto,
there's not much money left to be spent.
There's none. So I don't. And that's the other sort of in his favor, I think. It's like it doesn't matter if you pay him $23 million a year or like 18. It puts us in the same spot. The only person it affects is Ted, and I don't give a shit about him.
Are there any moves you would want to see, cap clearing or otherwise? Like,
I don't know. I think the most intriguing thing is what they're going to do with Gortat and Mahinmi.
I guess we haven't really discussed the like Gortat's postseason comments, basically
disgruntledness.
I mean, it was like a mixture of disgruntlement and a mixture of like, hey, this is where I'm at in my career and with my contract and where this team is.
I could see it. And then also John Wall, when he was talking about, you know, keeping the starters together, but if there's guys that don't want to be here, then but just given everything we've seen from Gortat and the organization over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever, I could definitely see it being a thing where he's just kind of being a squeaky wheel right now. He wants people to be nice to him and tell him he's appreciated. And
that's happened before.
Yeah. And I think they can probably figure out better ways to use him than they do. Get him more looks, I think.
I think he's more likely to get that with the Wizards than he would going somewhere else. Right, he's talking about he wants a bigger role. I don't think he's going to go somewhere and then he's like going to be a focus of an offense anywhere.
Right. And who's going to be a better pick and roll partner, like force feed him more than John does?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine. I don't know. I think people like hate on him. I mean, we talk about this all the time. People just shit on Gortat for no reason. And like for the most part, like probably for 3/4 of the season, he was good.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, he was the best player on the team. Not that it means like a whole lot now. And in the first round against the Hawks, I mean, he basically was able to, you know, overpower Dwight Howard for the most part.
Right.
And played pretty good defense on Paul Millsap. So,
and
he's not, I don't know.
And if Wizards fandom is, you know, ready, as they should be, to say Wall just kind of crapped out, didn't have it left in the tank, you got to extend that same benefit of the doubt to Gortat, who is the only guy that has been up there with Wall in terms of durability. And I mean, he's like a 31, 32 year old, maybe he's 30. I don't know.
Yeah.
But 7-footer, he plays every game. He was playing huge minutes. He's setting the most screens in the league, doing everything. So maybe he just got a little tired too.
Yeah, he's 33 now. I mean, and he hasn't really had a proper backup. I mean, he didn't at all this year, which is huge. And not his fault. And I don't know if management's kind of like eyeing him for his drop in production towards the end of the year. I think that's the first thing that they should consider.
And hopefully this is the kind of thing that everybody talks about. Scott Brooks is a player's coach and so good at, you know, managing egos and stuff, the kind of thing that he can smooth out, because I think if Gortat ended up leaving, it would be worse for everybody involved. I don't think we would get fair value for him if we traded him. I don't think he'd go to a place that would be a better fit for him. So hopefully they can get that worked out. And just get him, I mean, either get Mahinmi in shape or, I don't know, they have to do something about that. They can't have him playing that many minutes again.
Yeah. I think a lot of this is Jan's problem.
Yeah. Well, what kind of confidence level do you have in Jan?
I don't know. We talked about this in our group text a couple weeks ago.
That was a time where I was like sitting around doing nothing and like, saw something on Instagram, and I was like, "Oh, fuck that!" Like,
I don't know, because the one thing that always kind of sticks in my mind is that apparently last year in Indiana he had all these injuries and he was like an Iron Man playing through all of it. Everybody raved about, you know, his work ethic, how tough he was, like time putting in, getting treatment and stuff. So either he is just like seriously hurt this year, or maybe he just cashed in and is not that interested in it anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
I feel like I think he could be pretty good,
mm-hmm.
Particularly for the Wizards as like a defensive, like what he was supposed to be this year.
Yeah.
Backup.
And that's all they need. Really they don't need him to be great.
Good rebounder, good defensive guy, solid, give him a lot of minutes. But I also think if the Wizards don't believe he can be, there probably would still be a market for him.
It's just such a crapshoot with you know, older guys, big guys. Because even if they're guaranteed to be hurt for 3 months out of the year, you just hope it's at the right time. I don't know.
He's a NBA champion.
Oh, that he is. Let's give him. We haven't pressed the sound. Use the soundboard all evening. I'm rusty on where things are. Here we go. Oh, it also helped to have. I'm in mid-season form with the soundboard. So, what I was mad about is he like posted like an Instagram of like him and his. This is so petty and stupid. And, obviously, I like had 19 beers before I started like running my mouth on a text message, but it was like him and his family like going on a private jet to vacation. It was like, if you work hard, like you're, I don't know, you're gonna be successful or something. And I was like, work hard. Like, you wore a suit all season.
It wasn't just actually the caption was like, I tell my daughter if you work hard. So you were like, fuck you, don't say that to your daughter.
Such a jerk. Obviously completely irrational, but yeah, I mean, his injury must have been serious, but again, we don't know because the Wizards don't ever like say anything. So like, how could we know if he's like, other than like, oh yeah, he's working hard in practice. Like,
would you feel bad if you found out he was just doing the Chris Brown challenge?
What is the Chris Brown challenge?
He posted an Instagram of like, it was just a picture of a private jet and like a runway, and it was like about to be wheels up headed to Atlanta or whatever, and then he was actually like flying on a regular plane in coach.
Wasn't that Bow Wow?
Yeah, sorry, not the Chris Brown challenge. Bow Wow challenge.
Well, then I'd have even more reason to lay into him. I think I'd be excited by that prospect because it would justify being an irrational jerk.
So yeah, we really gotta just kind of put our faith in the front office on that Mahimi decision.
Can we play a game?
Yeah.
All right. The game is I'm gonna name the Wizards player. I'm gonna go through the current roster. You give me a word that describes your level of confidence in them. All right. Let me get the get the roster pulled up. All right, I'm just going to go in the order they got here. Looks like it's alphabetical. Bradley Beal.
Up and up.
This is a hard game.
All right, if you don't have one,
can I just give you a number?
Sure.
10.
Boring.
Bojan Bogdanović.
Lame. So lame in the playoffs.
I don't know how to play this.
I don't really know if I want him for the bench. I'm over him.
Trey Burke.
More like Mr. Steal Money from the Wizards.
Nice. Marcin Gortat.
Just needs an ego stroking in Poland.
A little pole stroking. Brandon Jennings.
Finger guns.
That's your heaviest endorsement yet. All right. He can stay. Yeah, Mahimi, we just went over. Sheldon McClellan.
You know, I'm a big fan of Sheldon on Instagram. He seems like he's always partying. Fairly confident on him. Would like to see more.
I'm bullish on Sheldon.
You know what I'm excited about?
Sheldon Mack.
Is they're doing that spinoff of The Big Bang with young Sheldon. So we'll probably get some good.
So many sound bites.
Yeah. So just for that reason, I want to keep him around.
Chris McCulloch.
Not optimistically intrigued.
I'm very optimistically intrigued. I've convinced myself that like he's like a lottery ticket that we've got. Yeah. That he could like somehow miraculously turn into a good player.
If he could be just like a copy of Jason Smith, like that would be a really good thing.
I got no faith in McCullough. I'm out on McCullough. Hope he proves me wrong. Markeith.
We need the quote of him talking about his nuts on the soundboard. Or, no, in the intro is what I've decided.
That's a good call. So,
very
confident. Yeah. Soundboard worthy. Intro worthy.
Yeah, intro worthy. Love Keefe.
Ochefu.
Ochefu?
Nice.
I'll leave it at that.
Oubre.
In love, I would say.
Dave nodding in agreement. He's also amorous. Otto Porter.
You know, just more than a couple words on Otto. When I feel like he can get even better than he was this season. I feel like this is probably like his game that he brought this year is probably to like middling to like what he can do. I feel like we haven't seen the best of Otto yet, so I'm very confident.
He was doing all sorts of shit this year that he never did before.
Yeah,
he got
sure.
so good scoring in the lane.
Yeah, imagine if he like if he can score like in the lane more often. If he can get that floater, like if he can shoot that like six times a game, like that'd be awesome.
Work on his handle, bulk up, and I think he'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
Tomas Satoransky.
You guys, I love Tomas Satoransky. I am in love with Tomas Satoransky. I want to be him. He has the best life ever.
That's why your Reddit username is, what is it?
Tomy Fresh.
It was even, I mean, that even preceded it. I mean, that was just like a...
It's like it was meant to be or something.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, he just hangs out and drinks beers and goes to soccer games and hangs out in Barcelona, like... That's the summer of Tomas. That's how I'm pinning it right now. Ringing endorsement there.
I'm not, yeah. Jason Smith.
We'll keep him around.
Now that we're going through these, I'm just like, you know what? Let's just run it back. Just bring back all these guys.
We'll bring back stretched out Colin Jost. And then John Wall.
I thought there was going to be a good soundbite for this, but I...
Do we just have the theme song? We should get a shorter John Wall clip, too.
Yeah. We can just do the John Wall thing right now if you want, Dave.
Yeah, I always want to do the weekend wall.
Well, you could have just pressed it when you were staring at the...
Sassy.
Watch here. John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
We love John.
Yeah. What's he up to?
Amen.
I stepped on it. Can you give us his summer update? You guys can hang out in the off season, right?
We don't hang out anymore. He's too rich for me now. Back when he was making like rookie money, we could hang out.
Uh-huh.
But once he got that big contract, he's kind of been big time in me.
Like so. Before, when you had his Hulu password and stuff, it was right. Like a friendly thing. Now it feels more like yucky.
Because you guys know I make like $6 or $7 million a year, and so we were like kind of in the same ballpark.
Well, you've been at your company for 5 years,
right? And so now, but now that he's making like over twice as much, almost three times, really, it's just kind of harder to hang out.
Are you gonna buy one of his Wallway hats when they come out?
Yeah, I'll support him.
That's nice of you.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys see that he got those Mario characters tattooed on his ankle?
Yes.
Seems kind of off brand for him, but
he's got a lot of tats. See, I'm up on all these guys' Instagrams now, so
I don't have Instagram, but
you should just get it to watch everyone's Instagram.
Well, Erin shows me sometimes, and the other day she was like, I've noticed that John's Instagram is always just him, like, rapping by himself.
Yeah.
Like, he's not really doing anything.
Or, like, in the car, or, like, just on his couch. Yeah, it's like that's all it is. And then a lot of times he doesn't have a shirt on, so you just see all of his tattoos. And...
But that is cool. He got that endorsement. I think he's angling to get a shoe contract this year.
What, from Nintendo? Mm-hmm. What endorsement?
The new era, the hats.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He had the playoffs for it. I read a stat today on Reddit that John Wall is still the playoff leader in assists by like 20.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Did you also know he is third all time in playoff assists per game?
Yeah, I think you dropped that one on us last pod, actually.
That is really crazy.
You say it's somebody and Chris Paul and Magic, Chris Paul, and then him?
Magic, Stockton, him, Chris Paul.
Nice.
Pretty good party.
Or maybe Stockton, Magic, I don't know.
And then today, following their two losses to the Warriors, LeBron foregoed any of his own sneakers to warm up at the shoot-around in the bright, like, pink/orange neon Kobe's.
Hmm.
Which are what John Wall wore all season. Mm-hmm. So he's probably just hoping to get a little bit of that Magic rub off.
Well, they share an agent. So maybe LeBron is using a little bit of his juice to get Rich Paul paid some more.
Didn't know that. Didn't know they had the same agent. Well, that makes sense. What do you guys think about these finals here?
I'm loving them.
I knew you would be.
Feels good after everybody trashing the Warriors all year, trashing Kevin Durant all year, after all the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. I didn't even really like the Warriors, and then everyone was just being so mean to them that I started feeling defensive of them.
Interesting. You're not annoyed by Kevin Durant at all, being a big baby?
No, I'm much more annoyed by all the people that like constantly call him a bitch on Twitter and are like, oh, he's so weak and like a coward and all this shit. It's not that serious. Don't.
Yeah, I don't have any of those takes, but I'm definitely have been and still am bummed that he went to the Warriors because last year's finals were great, and these ones, unless they change drastically, are trash. And I, like, enjoyed watching the Warriors way more before he was there. Like, it was fun to watch Steph pull up from 30 feet, like, six times in a game, which just doesn't happen anymore. They're great, and they win easily, and they're, like, still fun to watch, but that was, like, before I would be trying to watch as many Warriors games as I could because you never knew when Curry was going to go nuts. And now it's like, you know, Curry's going to get his 28, Durant will get his 31, Thompson's got 20, they win by 15, and it's just...
I definitely see, you know, it's obviously great when series are competitive and games are competitive, but it's also, I just think the greatness is really entertaining to watch. Like in game one, when there were so many times they would get out on the break and the Cavs, a team that has won a championship, has like championship players, just had nothing, no answer for it. They were just like completely broken. They wouldn't even guard Kevin Durant because they were too scared of the guys out on the wing. The defense is fun to watch. It's just, I don't know, I'm just enjoying the dominance of it.
I just think it'll get old. Like,
it probably will, but the other thing I really don't like is everyone's like, oh, well, might as well pack it in for 3 years. Warriors are going to win it every year. And I feel like that is such a think back to what you thought was going to be going on in the NBA 3 years ago, and it's you were totally wrong about it. Things change so quickly.
I'm definitely trying to get in. Right now it's you can get Spurs for next year at 15-1.
Ooh.
They get Chris Paul.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get that before Paul goes there. I also like to like watch excellence or greatness or whatever, but I feel like they're not even I prefer to watch great performances by players than like a team as a unit for the most part, just aesthetically what I enjoy. Not if it's a team I'm rooting for, I'd much rather like have the team be functioning incredibly. If I was a Warriors fan, I'd be like to the moon.
Right.
But if I'm just watching a game where I don't have a cart in the race, I'd prefer to see more like outstanding individual performances, like a close battle where some games Steph wins it for the Warriors, and then some games LeBron wins it for the Cavs would just be more entertaining for me.
And I think that's just like an aesthetic preference. And I think there are tons of people that I like, you know, follow basketball people on Twitter that are just like, I just don't like this, but the NBA is ruined or this is bad for the NBA is just so stupid. This is the finals game so far. I've had like the highest ratings they've had in years, higher than last year. The like biggest the league has ever been is when there's these dominant teams that people like to watch. And, when people conflate like what they don't like with bad for the league or say that, you know, they shouldn't have done it or something, like they shouldn't have created this team. Kevin Durant shouldn't have gone and done that. What if he wants to be on the best team of all time? Like that's seems like a totally valid thing to want to do to me.
Yeah, I personally don't have any problem with Durant going there, but I like at least get that when people argue that one. People say the Warriors shouldn't have done it. You're just, what are they going to not try to win?
Right.
That's like a disservice to their fans, everyone on the team, all like everybody, if they aren't doing what they can to win the championship when they have the opportunity to do it.
And for as much as certain kinds of people like to shit on NBA players in particular, that they're like egotistical or selfish or they don't play hard or whatever, this Warriors team is like the most you can ask for in that respect. Like they play together too much sometimes. I think that's yeah. like their biggest flaw is that they like get too excited to help other guys have big plays and like just try to like elevate their game to that level. I don't know how you could criticize like them personally for that.
And one like the one upshot of an incredibly dominant team is that whenever they do finally get taken down, it's going to be amazing. Like that the who doesn't love watching it, like a David Goliath story.
Right.
Well, see, if Goliath wins a couple times in a row, it just is going to make the eventual David even more satisfying, hopefully.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I think it's like it's cool that they're like super dominant. We've never seen anything like this. They're like 29-1 in their last 30 games or something crazy like that. But I guess like when you think about like other great teams, like when you think about like the Patriots, like they're like dominant, but like there's still like a slight edge to them over other teams. Like they've had like tons of scares. I don't think like this is just like not entertaining for me to watch without. You know, there's just no competitiveness. Like, I'm just like, I mean, they could still lose this championship.
It's only been two games.
I know, but like, I guess I fear that happening. It hasn't actually happened yet. If they sweep the Cavs, then I'll continue to complain about it. But, like, I don't know. I'm a big Barcelona soccer fan, and you know, a couple years ago, they're still great, but they had like a good Champions League run, and they're like, you know, could this be the best team Europe's ever seen? And you know, they played like all these really tight games, and like it was like tense and exciting. And I just feel like there is, because there's no tension for me, there's no excitement. Just as like a non Warriors fan.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. I like the dramatic, and there's no drama in this.
I agree with you there. And if drama is what you're going for, you're not gonna.
Yeah,
definitely. But I think there's an interesting wrinkle to it that we're talking about this David versus Goliath, and the David in this situation yeah. is the second best yeah. player of well, all time who's been to 8 straight finals. Yes.
Right. The David is 29 teams right now is what it is. That's why I mean say like every year you would assume next year Golden State is going to be right back there. Even in the, I would say the worst case scenario for their roster is they lose Clay.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a,
but he's
being
got
discussed.
He's got 2 more years.
Yeah. So you're going to figure they're going to be there. So that's what I'm saying. You're going to have like, you're going to have a bunch of teams saying, all right, we'll wait it out, tanking. But then you're going to have like 5 or 6 teams that think they have a shot, like just cranking it up, pulling out all the stops, trying to trade for like stars and stuff to give their best shot, which hopefully will turn into some good matchups and some good attempts.
Yeah, and I think one of the keys is to just remind yourself that nobody knows what is going to happen. Like, as inevitable as it seems, I feel like, the league is full of surprises happening on, like, a larger scale than one season or one series. I mean,
plus the Cavs are probably still going to win, so...
That would be something, wouldn't it?
It would be wild.
This yeah. was how I was feeling last year, too, that I was like, man, I'm loving the Warriors crushing. I hope they sweep them. And then LeBron turned it around, and by the end of it, I was rooting for him to do it. So
I'm dying for the Cavs to get Smith off the court. He's been so bad. And I've seen people pulling out stats of, like, he's a different player at home. They're going to stick with him, try to ride it out because they need his offense. But he's been so bad on offense and defense. And Shumpert at least can, like, make a respectable effort on Durant when he's in there. And then LeBron can kind of chill on D. I would say just scrap Smith for the most part. Let Shumpert play 32 minutes. And that way LeBron can just give his all on offense the whole game.
You know who's not looking great?
Who's that?
Kyrie Irving.
He continues to be exposed as a fraud on defense, so.
Getting called out by his coach on the defensive end. It's really baffling, and it's not just in this series, how bad the Cavs are when LeBron doesn't play.
Yeah.
Like, Love and Kyrie, just based on everything that we know about them in general, should still be really
right?
good. They're just bad.
It's crazy.
Love's having a good series though.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the on off numbers. It's only 2 games, so very small sample. But for the finals, with LeBron on and Kyrie on, and Love off, they're like a -16.
Mm.
And with LeBron on and Love on and Kyrie off, they're only like a -9 or something like that.
Hmm.
Significantly better with Love and LeBron both on the court with Irving off the court.
It'll be really interesting if they do end up getting blown out, what LeBron is going to do. He's definitely going to give one of his zingers of a post-game press conference. I love when he does those. Like when...
Just pout so hard.
When he lost in the finals. Maybe it was the first time with the Heat, and he came out and he was
against
like...
Against the Mavs.
He was like, all these people out there, they hate me.
Oh, yes.
They want to see me fail, but...
wake up and you're still you.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that.
He already kind of started that after game two. He hit him with the, you know, it's just basketball.
Yeah.
Yo, I can't believe... I mean, he doesn't need to go up and talk after every loss. Like, that's fine. But, like, he just gave, like, a lame-ass excuse and then got, like, super testy with everyone in the locker room, so...
LeBron is always good for at least one, like, really passive-aggressive interview per season-ending loss.
I get on board with the post-game passive-aggressive. I feel like it's got to be so hard if you just lost a game to, like, be nice. I get on board with those. But I think the... Come on, like saying you got to remember it's just basketball. That's bullshit, man. Your life is basketball. Yeah. You're open about how you want to be known as like the greatest and how that's your goal. Like,
right.
It's not just basketball for you.
That's I think the most like irritating thing about LeBron for me is that I liked when that guy was like, "Do you feel like this is a series that you have to defend home court?" And he's like, "Tell me what happens if we lose the next two games." And the guy's like, "You get swept." And I like that when he was like clowning the reporter, but I don't like when he acts like he's like above it, or he'll say something and then when people bring it up later, he's like, "Oh, you're blowing this out of proportion." It's like you intentionally did that to try to take a dig at people or, you know, get under somebody's skin, but just own it.
Do you think if they get swept that he'll want to do something drastic and either get rid of Kyrie or Kevin Love? And
he's probably going to join the Warriors.
Did you guys listen to LeBron and Kevin Durant rapping?
Is it out? Yes. I read that article on this.
There's just a clip. Like the first. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. We can definitely like plug that in.
Yeah, here. I was going to say. Plug it in the.
Yeah.
Because I saw that article headline, and then in that it said it was, you know, still.
Somebody, I don't know who it is, released the first like 15 seconds of it or something and said if they got 1 million retweets they would post the whole thing.
It's an awful lot of retweets.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible. I think that chicken nugget thing like proved that. That whole Wendy's chicken nugget bit.
Well, they caved, so maybe this guy will do the song.
Here we go.
And every hater all the same. I'm feeling like the world is Skip Bayless and I'm LeBron James. It ain't easy on the path I'm on, but put the world on my back cause I'm that strong. Long journey I've been on from the very start. No way I die off with this iron heart. It's the kid King James acting 330. Let's get him.
LeBron not good at rapping. That's okay. He doesn't need to be good at everything.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant was okay.
Yeah, I actually didn't think it was him at first. It doesn't really sound like him.
Yeah. I would have needed a few more bars to give any real judgment, but just in terms of their like projection and their sort of voice, Durant was significantly better in that small snippet, I would say.
Excited to hear the whole thing.
Can't wait. Get those retweets flowing.
Yeah.
I like that they shit on Skip Bayless in the first, like, 5 seconds.
They must all, like, I bet all NBA players just hate Skip Bayless. Probably like that crazy, crazy white man on the television.
Yeah. Like how Markieff Morris slapped Stephen A. Smith on the ass. Like, that's the only thing I could do to him that wouldn't really hurt him.
Guys, just a couple other things here, unless you have other things you want to run through, but some Wawa talk, perhaps?
Oh, yeah.
Should we get into this?
Let's do it.
So Wawa's coming to D.C. I guess they've announced a couple locations, the first one being like on 19th Street, I guess, which is downtown-ish.
Like Logan Circle-y, somewhere around there, I think.
Yeah. And all of you clowns from the Philadelphia area, Pennsylvania really as a whole, excited about a convenience store. And I'm over it now. I'm not as angry about it, but I was really annoyed when it was first announced and everyone's losing their minds over a glorified 7-Eleven, if you will.
Well, it's far better than a 7-Eleven. And my excitement is going to be determined by the price points in there. My the real reason I love a Wawa, and I've been to Wawa's like probably in the thousands of times, is I could walk into a Wawa with a $10 bill and walk out with like a decent sized sub, a side of mac and cheese, a bag of chips, a chocolate milk, and like a Mountain Dew. No problem. And the sub is like decent. It's not like the world's best, but it's probably on par with like a Jimmy John's or something. It's like, you know, fairly quality sub, and the mac and cheese is banging. So if the prices are like that here, I'm going to be, well, I'll never make it to that area to go to a Wawa. But if I did,
good, I'm glad.
There, if I did live around there, I'd be like there every day. Then the question is it just going to get the like DC price hike? Because then I wouldn't, it's not as exciting.
Schwenk, I agree with you. It's a glorified 7-Eleven. But if there were no 7-Elevens in DC, and then they were like, 7-Eleven is coming to DC, wouldn't you be excited? 7-Eleven is a great place.
Yeah, I mean, I would be excited for sure. I just felt like, and I feel like there are lots of people who like love the food at Wawa and like think it's the greatest, and I think that plays like a big part into it. I like the fact that it like, you know, expands your options, you know, it is pretty cheap, but I feel like people overhype the food.
Well, think about, you like 7-Eleven, both of you?
Mm-hmm.
And you eat their food?
I'll eat a hot dog at 7-Eleven for right. Sure.
I would too, from time to time. But have you ever eaten anything from 7-Eleven, whether it was just for convenience sake or because you like went out of your way to get it and felt good about yourself in any way?
No.
Mm-mm.
So you can have that same exact experience with a Wawa and not be mad at yourself afterwards, because you're not going to be like, I just ate a pile of shit.
I'm with you on that. I think Wawa sandwiches are pretty good. I think they're definitely better than Jimmy John's. They have a
secret garbage Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's is terrible. They also have like a lot more options than your average sub place. They have like different kinds of stuff. They have like fried chicken at Wawa. Is that?
Sometimes they have little bagels. Fried ravioli pockets.
They have breakfast sandwiches. They have every drink known to mankind, which is, I feel like, a really
they
underrated
do have a really
thing
good drink selection. To just,
you want a peach Snapple, you're good. You know what I mean? You want like a blue Powerade, you want anything, you can go in there and get it.
They also have no surcharge ATMs.
Ooh.
Regardless of your bank, they cover any extra fees. And they're typically 24-hour stores.
That is really
actually nice. I think they all are the 24-hour thing, so
that will be an interesting experience, putting a 24-hour Wawa downtown. See how that works out for them. But they also, I really value the touchscreen ordering. You can go in there and not have to talk to anybody.
This was the one positive Schwenk gave it in his other podcast appearance.
It's great because you can get in there and you don't gotta, you know, if you go to like Subway or something, you get up there, you're not quite sure, and you're just like, oh, screw it, I'm just gonna go with this. You can really take your time, scroll through the options, go back if you need to. You don't have some idiot there asking you questions. And then while you're waiting for it to get made, you can just wander around and pick out any sides or whatever that you want. It's a pretty good experience.
I agree. I'm being a little bit hard on it. I just feel like it was overhyped, and there are like lots of people who act like they will go out of their way because they just love the food so much. And like, it is definitely like the preferred convenience store experience.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I just don't know how overhyped it was. Cause I didn't even hear about it until you.
It was all over my Facebook feed.
I know, but I'm saying I have the Facebook feed to know about that. All my people are from Pennsylvania, Delaware, and D.C. So I would have, and like people who are also from Pennsylvania and Delaware and are now in D.C. And I didn't know anything about it.
I feel like if I'm going to toss some shade to our friends, your former roommates here. I feel like I've seen them, like, one of them would go to the Philadelphia, Delaware area and bring Wawa subs back for everyone.
That's definitely true.
See, that is, I mean, like, you went to a gas station to get a sub. Like, it's not that good.
Well,
like,
they didn't, see, I don't know about that, because they didn't probably go to the gas station to get a sub. It's just the, you're not going to go to any other place on your trip home. If you go to Delaware or Philadelphia and then you're driving to D.C., you're not going to stop at any other place before you're doing your, like, get out of town. You're going to go to the Wawa to get gas, a drink, and then any sandwiches. So
yeah, which is fair, but, like, to the clowns down here in D.C., they're like, oh, man, I need a really mediocre turkey sandwich out of no convenience to me at all. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I was in West Virginia this weekend, and they don't have Wawa's.
Oh, my God.
Sheets, right?
Sheets.
The Wawa versus Sheets war. I'm sorry to people on both sides. They're the same thing.
Sheets is excellent.
Don't tell them, but they're the same thing.
I stopped at probably five or six Sheets on my way there and back.
That was a ream.
Sheets are great. They have this really great, my tire was low. So, you know, you go to get air for your tire. First of all, it was free, which is great. I didn't have any quarters. And they have this, you like set it to the PSI that you want, and you just put it in, and it beeps when you're done. You don't have to check the thing.
Very solid.
It beeped.
That is cool. That's a nice feature. I've only been to Sheets, I think, twice, because I've never been to that side of the state. But on the way to West Virginia, stopped at one or two. But yeah, I don't have much experience with it.
I didn't know there was a Sheets versus Wawa.
It's very heated, and it's very Eastern versus Western Pennsylvania. Like, I mean, I don't know if we want to be dragged into their blood war, but yeah. And if you tell either one of them that they're the same thing, they get really mad. And I think the Wawa people get more mad because I feel like they are the ones who like feel like they're superior in the argument. If you're like a true blue Wawa person over a Sheets person.
That's really funny.
Yeah,
I got a buddy who lives in Pittsburgh now, and somebody was asking him, we were all up in Wilmington, Delaware for a wedding, and somebody was asking him how long it takes him to get to Pittsburgh. And I don't remember what he said. He's like, it's like 4 hours, but you stop at Annie Ann's, so like 4:45. As if it's just a given. Like,
you gotta go to Annie Ann's.
It's not, you don't, maybe you stop. You stop at Annie Ann's on your way to Pittsburgh, so.
I didn't know Annie Ann's was anywhere except malls and airports.
Rest stops.
Yeah, I guess it's probably a rest stop.
Same sort of thing. I was in Chicago last weekend. They have these wild rest stops that are like, basically like where an overpass would be. And they're like on top of that, and they have like glass windows. So you're like, if you go, I didn't stop at one, but like, that's kind of wild to be over top of a highway while you're getting your Auntie Anne's cinnamon pretzel bites.
It's funny that like those and Cinnabon are only acceptable in places where you're like, well, I can't eat like a human, so I'll just eat this thing, which is like barely even food. They're pretty good though. I mean, I love a good Cinnabon, but. Yeah. But if they put a Cinnabon as like a standalone restaurant, no one would ever go there. They're like, well, I'm trapped in this airport, so I can eat this now.
This situation's sad, so my meal's going to match the mood. Speaking of moods, we've been texting, as we do. Dave, you've got a new bit to express your moods here.
Oh, yeah.
Your new bit is Bitmojis. Now, I knew this was a thing because... in our group text amongst our high school and college buddies, all the guys are into the Bitmojis. I do not have a Bitmoji. I don't participate in that, but yeah, I think you scared Gary a little bit.
I was just confused. I've only seen, so Ty Ty Baby made one for herself a few months ago, but I think she only literally sent me one text with it in it and said, like, this is my new Bitmoji. What do you think? I was like, I don't really know what it is. It's cool. And then that was it. It like never happened again, probably because of my unenthusiastic response. And then yours So then the next one I saw was yours, which is wildly different from hers because you're wearing a cat costume in it.
Well,
and I don't think that's the same one you use in our other group text. You used the cat one recently?
Yeah.
I feel like you're normally in like a Wizards jersey.
Well, yeah, so I switched it. I switched my gear because that's the cool thing you can do is wear whatever you want to really express yourself. And so I was wearing the Wizards jersey before, but then after we lost, I was like, all right, this is kind of bumming me out. So I went with the cat. and I don't know. You guys know I'm an emoji guy. Helps me express my feelings.
And you like bits.
I do. I love a good bit. And I don't know. There's a bitmoji for any situation.
So that was my next question was it seems like you always have these so quickly available as like responses, or at least like today and yesterday you did. Like you don't have, do you build these scenes or is it just like a
you type it in
the way you do like the GIF search?
Yeah. So you just put in like, you know, if you're feeling like WTF, you just put that into the search bar and you get a lot of really great emojis pop. Like, I don't know what I put in here, but...
The shit is lit fan.
Of the cat smoking the pipe in the chair.
Yeah.
It's a good Bitmoji. And they're, like, integrated into Snapchat now, so you can use them as stickers on your Snapchats. If you are Snapchatting with another person that also has a Bitmoji, you can get stickers of you and them doing fun stuff together.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
You said they're like, yeah, I know it's cool.
It's pretty cool. So, I mean, give it a shot. I recommend it. It only takes a minute to set up and then...
Does it require an extra app?
Yes.
Yeah, your app limit on your phone?
I just like it to be nice and neat and orderly here on my front page. Got it all in one spot.
Your loss.
I might give it a shot.
You should.
Guys, should we do a little pop culture detour and shut it down?
We should do a pop culture detour.
We've only been going for an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, I think the problem was that we got off to kind of a slow start. I think we were all rusty and we just need to get in the groove and hey,
yeah.
Here we are. An hour 30 minutes later. Is that how long it's been? Almost.
But yeah, let's do another little...
I guess pop culture detour part two.
Pop culture detour. Redux.
Well, guys.
We've been saving that drop for a while. Yeah. Just in case that ever happened.
You guys didn't watch the Leftovers finale?
No.
So I'm probably going to watch it when I leave here, too, which is the unfortunate part.
We'll talk about it.
We just do a Skype addendum to this. Tack it on.
We could do it. We could just talk about it next week or something.
Yeah, that works, too.
So we can't talk about that. I'll just say that I enjoyed it. Actually, let's talk about this for just 1 second. I'll rank mine right here, but... the seasons, or how'd you feel about season 3 of The Leftovers, like, or in comparison to the other two?
Depending on how they stick the landing, I think it was pretty easily the best one so far.
I think it was my least favorite.
Really?
Same.
Yeah.
Really?
I liked it, for sure. And I like how it ends. But yeah. Not.
I was saying this to Schwenk off mic earlier.
Pre-show meeting.
Yeah. And the first two seasons while I was watching it was like absolutely appointment viewing for me. And while I'd be watching, like I was enraptured. Like I was fully focused. Nothing would have ever dragged my attention away. And then watching this season, I just haven't been that into it, which I could have lost interest between seasons 2 and 3 because it was like a pretty long gap. It could just be a result of that, but just as my enjoyment of the season has been less because I feel like it hasn't held my attention the same way the first two did.
I've been really hooked since the very beginning. I think season 2 was maybe more exciting because it did a lot of stuff that you didn't think it was going to do. Like it started with that crazy
earthquake thing.
Yeah. And then just more like supernatural stuff started happening. It was in a whole different place. But I just think like the weight of everything, like with season three, the whole thing is about, you know, the 7-year anniversary coming up, and like the sense of finality of it just really did it for me.
Just thought it was a little more tedious this time around, just because it's more like, it's a little more existential than just like, this is like the wild world that we're living in and anything can happen. It's like, could this be the end of the world?
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
I think I was always much more interested in that aspect of it than the like, because that was like the pitch of the show is like, what is it like in the world after this? And I always was more interested in like the existential aspects of it. And I also really love Kevin's dad, and this was the most Kevin's dad heavy season. So
I really liked the first season for that reason, though, of that, like, they weren't really trying to answer any mysteries. It was just like,
here's how
the world is all screwed up now that this has happened. This is how it's made these people like crazy and angry and all this. That's like what I like the most. I could watch the pilot episode any day, like over and over again. I love it so much. When they're first introducing you to like these people who are just screwed up over this.
The pilot is really incredible. One thing that I don't like about this third season is in both of the first two seasons, the theme song was so perfect, and they don't do a theme song. They do like a different one every week. And I feel like, I don't know, for whatever reason, the left, like some shows, you're just like, get me through the credits. I don't care about this. But then some shows, it's just like, oh shit, you're about to watch The Leftovers. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and it doesn't really do that for me anymore.
Well, I'll tell you that I think they use the same song in the first episode as they do the last one in the credits, which is still like it's like a folksy song. I don't even know what it is, but mm-hmm. pretty sure that it's the same one.
Little Boxes.
You know, I was thinking about rewatching Weeds recently. I was a big fan, and I quit like season.
I think
five.
We watched that together initially. Wasn't that like
probably.
Dorm room show for us? I think
that sounds about right.
I think everybody quit at season five.
I quit when the kid hit the dude with the bat.
Oh yeah,
I think that's
I was. I think that was a season finale, and I never came back to it.
Mm-hmm. A little too off the rails. You know what I'm all in on though right now. Both you guys will. Well, Dave, you've already declared that you hated it. Southern Charm.
Oh my god!
Great reality television show.
I didn't wait. When did I declare that I hate it?
Well, we just brought it up before we started recording, and you were like, "Oh my god! Oh my god!"
I just said, "Oh boy!"
He was just getting in a character.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! What is this Southern Charm? I do declare. What is it? Yeah.
It's just a dumb reality show about mostly rich people in Charleston, South Carolina.
It's on Bravo.
Yeah, it's a Bravo show. Yeah, just kind of stumbled onto it this past weekend. I don't remember, but been cruising through the sods. It's pretty dramatic. I'm always in on a good... I like trashy reality television. I really like the reunion shows a lot, and the season two reunion show was like super explosive. You had people yelling about like legal cases, and then it was wild. So
tell us about your favorite character.
I'd say I'm a Shep guy, but who isn't really? Shep is just kind of like the carefree dude on the show. Yeah, I'd say him. Maybe Cameron as well.
I really love hearing people talk about TV shows that I don't watch. Like, I could listen to two people talk about a show that I don't watch, and it's so absurd sounding. They're like, can you believe that that Madison turned out to be? And it's like, that sounds so stupid, but I'm sure if I watched it, I'd be right there with you.
Well, I read all the Bachelorette recaps, and I'm not watching the show. Man, I have watched seasons in the past, but I haven't watched one in, like, at least 4 or 5 seasons ago was the last one I watched. But I still like the SB Nation recaps of every episode are always so funny. And they have like the screenshots and, you know, they like tell you all the best lines anyway. And so I, like, routinely am up to date on what's happening in The Bachelor and Bachelorette, even though I haven't watched in, like, 3 years.
This season's been pretty good. I've only watched, like, the first two episodes, or maybe, like, the one and a half or something like that.
Didn't it come out that Kevin Durant used to date The Bachelorette?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were at Texas together.
Mm. My first thought was, like, because she's a little bit older than he is, and... my first thought was like, oh man, he was like a freshman. She must have been like a senior. Like, and I was like, oh well, he was Kevin Durant. So like, of course he was like pulling like hot senior girls.
That would be funny if a senior was like, ew, I'm not dating him. He's a freshman.
He can't even bench 185.
That's all I've got, you guys.
Fargo's been banging.
That's why I'm getting into it now. I think I'm 3 episodes deep.
Fargo is great. Better Call Saul, fantastic.
I'm behind on that one. It's just a lot. 3 shows at once is a lot for me. I had to let one fall away. I'll catch back up soon, though. It's been fantastic, though.
Yeah. Probably my favorite show on right now. That or The Leftovers. Well, I guess The Leftovers isn't on anymore. But, yeah, it's really good.
I'm rewatching Breaking Bad. Slowly from the start, and Saul just came into that.
What's crazy is I find myself kind of losing interest in the Mike and like drug dealing stuff, and the lawyering just does it for me every time, and I never would have expected that.
That's definitely where my eyes are focused as well. What's going on with Saul? Is he going to pick himself up? You love some good lawyering.
I mean, America loves lawyering. That's why John Grisham is like a half a billionaire.
What do you think of, Runaway Juror? Is that what it's called?
Runaway Jury.
Runaway Jury.
That's a good movie.
Is that the one with Gene Hackman?
Yeah, and Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. That's a good flick.
What's the one with John Cusack?
Pelican Brief?
Is that it?
He's also in...
Is that Runaway Jury?
Yeah, same movie.
They've made a bunch of... I used to read... I think I maybe read every John Grisham book when I was in like middle school. That was, for some reason, something I was really into.
I think I remember that because my dad would read John Grisham. And then I'd see like reading it on the bus. Time to Kill, The Firm.
I play a basketball team named The Firm next week.
Really?
I think that's who I play next week. They're definitely in my league. I wonder if they're John Grisham inspired.
Probably.
That would be such a DC thing.
Oh, yeah, it would. I hope you beat him.
Yeah, John Grisham just cranking out hits. 62.
62
look
bucks?
Look up John
62
Grisham.
62 years old.
Net worth. Oh, you're one step ahead of me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm seeing 220, 250 million dollars.
One of those search results just a picture of bags of money?
He sold more than 300 million books as well, so.
Dang.
And I don't know if you've ever read them, but every one is the exact same.
Yeah.
They take place in the same town. He is like a young, idealistic lawyer, ends up working a... John Grisham really loves... torts, like class action lawsuits about torts, and everyone is about the exact same kind of case. And then the bad guys are like, well, why don't you come work for us? And he does, and then he meets a woman, and then he like refines his conscience and gives away all the money, but he's happy and still a lawyer and pretty rich at the end. And that's how they all end.
Maybe that happened to him like one time. Just inspired him forever.
Speaking of inspirations for books that people have written, I read the other day that Bill O'Reilly, like 20 years ago, wrote a novel about a news guy who gets fired for like inappropriate behavior and starts killing everyone that he holds responsible for.
I had no idea. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
He writes all those killing books.
Yeah. What's his next one? Killing England?
Killing England.
What a fucking idiot.
Still there, man. Missed the boat on that one.
Schwing, did you ask me if that was true? I don't say anything on the podcast that isn't true.
I mean, it just seemed absurd. I don't know. Sorry.
Actually, I don't know if it's true or not. I didn't verify it.
Let's get our fact checkers on it.
Yeah.
If you're out there.
You know who you are. We won't name names. All right, guys.
Let's shout out one listener who interacted with us. Because we're, what, an hour and 30-something in? If you're still listening, what up, piece of lit? How you doing?
Oh, man, our boy. Well,
thanks for listening, and thanks for making your family listen.
We don't really tweet that much in the off season, so I was trying to see. If you were listening this long, then you should definitely listen to the Driving Dish podcast, because I was on there talking Wizards for like 45 minutes. So,
and sometime within the next month, we're going to do our big drunk spectacular, where we basically we do what we just did, except we slur our words more and we do it for twice as long. So you gotta like that, right?
If the Wizards ever win a championship, while we're doing this podcast, we all have to do the end of season episode on like peyote or something.
We'll set up like a tent in someone's living room.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we'll do this again next week. Maybe not. I feel like we talked about basically nothing for an hour and a half, so.
If we're not limited to Wizards talk, I feel like we could knock out an hour every week, no problem, yeah. Which in the offseason might just be what we have to do.
And you know what? If nobody listens to it, at least we got to hang out with each other.
That's a good point.
That's an episode title right there.
Yeah. Let's close it out on that. Dave, Gary, I'm CT. That was Zardcast. Amen. Amen.